I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
Okay, there we go. All right, we're off. Welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee. Everything School HQ down there in the home state. Collins Hill head football coach Drew Swicks here. Drew, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Man, we still got several more months for high school football's back into the swing of things, but how is it going for you in the spring? Where are you at in your spring just practice regimen and getting stuff ready for installs? Where are you at this point?
So we're a lot further ahead this year because I got hired late, you know, last year, so kind of playing catch up with everything. But this year, you know, we've got, you know, leadership council already established, you know, our seniors all the way down to freshmen, and those guys have really done a great job this year. Last year, we did the same thing. You know, our players kind of voted, you know, a few guys that may not have been the best leaders, but this year they got it right. And, you know, those leaders are really taking our guys and doing everything on their own after school. You know, I'm talking about be doing hills, whatever. It could be in the weight room, but you know, it's really good to see our guys and our leaders taking control of our team and really just doing everything themselves. But, you know, we started install for offense, defense. You know, we've made a lot of adjustments after Milton. You know, they did a really good job in our in the second round game versus us, you know, exposing us in the boundary, and we've made changes from that. But, you know, you don't want to continue to do the same thing every year. You want to make adjustments and small tweaks to your defense calls, offense. But, you know, I got a great coach, Steph. You know, really excited about our players coming in. Got, you know, a veteran group, I would say. This junior class getting ready to be seniors is very tight. And you can tell that because they're always doing stuff outside together. And that's until like a team is going to be special when you got the seniors, you know, the rising seniors and then the rising juniors that are all, you know, very, very close together and doing everything outside of football. And that's a good thing to see.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about like where you're at with 2024 and like you're ahead of where you were in 2023, what are you already certain of is going to be different about the 2024 team based on who you're bringing back, who you're bringing in? What can you already tell is going to be different?
Yeah, so last year, you know, the past 3 years, we've had three different offense coordinators. And, you know, my junior quarterback, getting ready to be senior, you know, that was his first year starting TJ Wilcox. And, you know, learning a new system, lingo, all that stuff, and just trying to build chemistry with, you know, new kids that we got coming in, wide receivers, running backs. You know, our offense had a lot more production this year, but we played the second toughest schedule in Georgia. Mm-hmm. We opened up with Milton. Then we went to Sandy Creek, played Westlake. Then Cedar Grove. So we played all those big schools, you know, and then we ended up playing Mill Creek and Buford and you know, ended up coming out 5-7, but you know, first round, we were the three seed. Norcal was the one seed and we ended up beating them to go to second round and end up losing to Milton, who won the state championship. But, you know, for me, you got a year under your belt. Now all these kids know each other. They know the expectations for us on offense, defense, and special teams, and they know the standard. And, you know, that standard has been carried on by, you know, those juniors, rising seniors. And, you know, I'm just super excited about, you know, this year coming in with all the talent we got coming back, all the skill, all the linemen. You know, it starts up front and we got a really good defensive line, really good offensive line. And some of the coaches that I brought in from outside did a really, really good job of really fixing that front. And it showed this year. And we got two really good backs as well that can go. We call them Thunder and Lightning. And they're, you know, they're a great pair. And those two guys will be, you know, two-year starters again, you know, coming in this year and just have another year under the belt. It's just, you know, it's going to be a lot different, you know, hopefully. But with the addition of, you know, Discovery in our region now, that adds another region game, which is great. But, you know, we want to win region and we want to win, you know, state championship, and that's always going to be the goal.
So when you talk about the Thunder and Lightning this year, what makes them special and what makes them different in that way?
Those are guys that can line up in the backfield, they can line up in Wildcat, and they can also line up in empty. So you can move those guys to empty, put them on an inside linebacker, and you can just do whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it makes the defense have to change what they're doing. And, you know, defensively, that's what we try to do with offense each Friday, is get them out of their game plan. And when you can do that with the front that we got, you know, the secondary could be average, and a great D-line can make that average secondary look great. But, you know, coming back in, again, we've lost three starters on each side. So we'll bring back seven to eight guys, offense, defense. And whenever you have numbers like that, you know, special things can happen.
So when you're talking about the offense, and I'm also curious in this regard, where, like, you're still a young new head coach in the high school level, when you're going through the ranks and you're working for different coaches over the years, and with your background just playing at the collegiate level and playing at Collins Hill, obviously offenses have changed significantly over the years, but in terms of what you've identified, because, like, I'm just curious in terms of, do you have a good feel of, like, what you want your offensive identity to be? Are you more fluid and you're like, I think I'll figure it out over the next couple of years as I get more seasons under my belt to see what works, what doesn't? Is it always going to have to be kind of a give and take based on who you're, who's moving into your area, who's going to be on your team year over year, and who's young? Like, cause that also is a big thing when you have some years, you have to play a lot of freshmen, and some years you get to play a lot of seniors, and it is what it is for your situation. But do you feel like you have a pretty good handle, or are you still pretty open in terms of what your identity needs to be on offense year over year?
Yeah, my first year, you know, I wanted to be very similar to what Tennessee does, but then you just got to look at your personnel. You got to be realistic with what, you know, the expectations are, what you can really manage. You know, what Tennessee does is not normal, and we'll try to mimic it, and it doesn't always work like you see on, you know, television on Saturday, but you know, it really comes down to your personnel. So, like, we got two great running backs, you know, and you want to have your dudes on the field and, you know, every snap. And, you know, the game has changed a lot. You know, when we were playing 2008, 2009, you know, it was more 11 and 12 personnel, you know, I back, under center, things like that. And North Gwinnett was really the only team really doing spread at that time. So was Norcross.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was not the norm. And then it became more spread. With the new OCs and then just the change of offense. But now it's actually starting to go back to 11 and 12. So that's kind of what we're looking at. And, you know,
Why do you think that is?
Say it again.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they're reverting back the other way?
I think, you know, it's kind of like with Alabama. You know what I mean? Alabama was like that. And then they went, you know, based on the coordinators, and it's kind of the taste of that and the head coach, I guess. But, you know, everybody's been used to that spread and can stop it. So you find ways to stop it. And the offense is kind of, you know, the production is not there as much, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you're always trying to find different ways of doing things different. And again, you have, you know, personnel, you have two tight ends, you have two running backs. You want those guys on the field at all times. And, just different personnel packages that you can do. You can still do your spread and move a tight end out to slot like Ethan Davis, like we did with him, but you also want to be able to bring them in, play sniffer or tight end or whatever you need to do. You know, if you want to go 13 personnel and put Deuce Gerald's in the backfield or running back, we can do that, you know? So I think it's just kind of what you got at hand and what you have personnel package. That's kind of what's going to dictate what you can do. And then the offseason, obviously in spring, is going to show you if you really can run that and what's going to be successful and what's not.
Which do you enjoy coaching more? Do you enjoy more of the Tennessee tempo and that sort of thing and spreading teams out, or do you enjoy more of the 11-12 personnel?
You know, it kind of depends on, I mean, what the production is. I like scoring touchdowns, and I like stopping from scoring touchdowns, and I like turnovers. But, you know, I think when you have a big front, like the Mill Creeks, the Bufords, you know, the Westlakes, the Miltons, you know, people like that, you know, they can pound the rock, and if you can't stop them, they're just going to keep running the same play over and over.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, I like watching the spread, because there's a lot of things you can do out of that. We play action RPO, and just, you know, we call it gangster, but there's a lot of things that can trick a defense. And if they're not, you know, coached up well, you know, over the week, and you come in Friday and you see something you can exploit, then you can exploit it a lot. And, you know, but going back to the old Tennessee days, you know, we were talking about Jamal Lewis, Travis Stevens, Travis Henry. And that was fun to watch them run, because they were dudes and they were, you know, men amongst boys back then.
Absolutely. And I also, like you said, it's just funny how things just flip back the other way. And a lot of it's just like, I mean, there's just a lot of big time offensive linemen in class six. I mean, now back to 6A in the state of Georgia. So I think a lot of more teams can do that kind of stuff. They can go back to 11, 12 personnel. I think you're seeing tight ends are cool again, and tight ends who, like, I think you're having more kids who are like, yeah, that's fine. I'll play tight end. I'll be able to, cause it's just, it's a cool position. I don't know how much of it is Gronk and everything else and Travis Kelce. But I think tight end is just kind of coming back in vogue, but like it was this gradual change and you see it, at the high school level, all over the place, but it is interesting. Do you think it's going to permeate across like the class 6A, or do you think it's still, or like, I guess it's like class dependent, because I wonder if you're at the smaller classifications that you might have to always, it might be more beneficial for you to always lean more towards the spread based on what you'll likely have year over year.
Yeah. I think it depends on your front, like you said. So if you have a small line, I mean, you gotta get the ball out quick, cause you can't block, you know, the defensive line. So you're trying to get the ball out quick, get it to your athletes on the outside and let them make a one-on-one tackle miss and go score. But for us, since, you know, 6A now, for the most part, we see a lot of 11 and 12 personnel.
Yeah.
It's becoming more common. And again, you got, you know, the numbers in football, you know, our numbers have increased drastically, and that's a great sign. But, you know, for a while there, you may have only had one or two deep, and a lot of the linemen have to play O-line. So they're playing both sides of the ball, and, you know, they're dudes on defense, they're dudes on offense. And I think, again, like I was saying, it just comes down to your personnel, honestly. And, you know, some teams are going to run wing T, some teams are going to run, you know, pistol under center eye. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff.
I love the wing T over here. We got Pigeon Forge out here running the wing T and stuff. I like Gibbs runs a triple. Who's running the wing T? Is there anybody on your schedule running the wing T?
So not on our schedule, but when we played Grayson in 2020, they could get in the wing T because they run that in the rec program. But they, you know, those guys have learned that all the way through. So they could go from spread to 11 to wing T, and you had to rep all that. And it's not easy to rep throughout practice, you know, because your scout team's got to be great.
What do you push in terms, because we talk about, like, I mean, that is a underrated part. I think people from the outside and fans from the outside don't understand that, like, what it's imperative to have a system in place for a lot of these programs, for these kids to grow up in a system that's going to be close to what they're going to run at the high school level. So it's more of a steady stream of just like guys who know what to do, and it's easier for them to come on and contribute earlier than other guys who aren't as familiar with the system. But when you think about being a defensive guy here, Drew, like what are the key tenets of what you've built defensively and like what you would like to see start from the top going down to rec league?
Yeah. So, you know, honestly, your rec program is the most important thing. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier with Georgia and, you know, Georgia and Gwinnett being really, really hotbed for recruiting and talent. But, you know, our rec programs from top to bottom, we have great coaches in there as well. And, you know, in 2020, you know, that team, that those seniors, they weren't the ones that we had been with really pushing. So when Coach Gregory came in, you know, he asked Coach Hayden and myself to go down and coach the eighth graders. He said they're really good and asked us to do that. And I was head coach and Coach Hayden was head coach, and we'd ran offense, defense, but we were using our lingo. So you had Sam Horn on that team.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter didn't come until the next year. But all those seniors, you know, on that squad, they had been hearing our lingo, defense, offense for 5 years. So when, you know, we lost in 2020 to Grayson, we came back, all those guys were so tight. They knew the expectations and they knew the standards. And, you know, after that loss in the locker room, you could feel that we were going to win the state championship. And you didn't have to tell kids to work hard. I mean, it was everybody holding each other accountable. You know, the film study, the film prep was on point. I mean, guys were in the film room asking questions. You know, I'd get text message every night, and it was just really good to see. But it starts in your rec program. And like you said, the best ones that are, you know, the guys that are doing, you know, state championships and, you know, going to the Final Four and Final Eight every year, those are the guys that have their rec programs right.
I like it. Do you, when you look at the, we were talking about like kind of your schedule and how difficult it was. One of the things that flipped though, was you won four of your last five before getting the Milton rematch.
Mm-hmm.
What flipped for your team in the second half of the season?
Yeah. You know, you got, today's kids are a little bit different. You know, you got to continue to recruit your own kids. You know, you got to build relationships with them at first. That's the most important thing. And you got to do things outside of football. That's always the most important thing. Can't always be about football. But, you know, our kids had to learn how to celebrate each other's successes. and really learn how to put in that extra time to build the chemistry. So a quarterback going out after practice and doing 5 to 10 minutes, you know, what Sam Horn and Travis Hunter and all those guys would do every single practice. But it matters. I mean, things, talk about small things. Can you lose you a football game? Well, small things can lose you a football game, like forgetting the snap count, one on the 1 yard line, you know, when you're going in to score, or, you know, a muffed handoff and then they scoop and score right after halftime, you know, kills momentum and prevents you from winning those big games. And we had a lot of that stuff. And, you know, it really had to be, you know, taught to our kids, and they had to really see it and live it to really see, you know, they're actually, you know, they know what they're talking about and buy into the systems. And, you know, again, I was first year head coach, but, you know, I have a lot of passion about Collins Hill because it's my home and this is where I, you know, graduated from. So it's my community. But you got to teach them about the school, you know, the history and everything, all the guys that came before them and why Collins Hill is where it is now. You know, all that stuff matters. And, you know, I think everybody just really made a pact. You know, after the Mill Creek game was really the turning point of the season. We should have won that game. You know, we had a pass interference that was waved off at the end that would have put us on the 3 yard line to win. And Mill Creek ended up stopping us on fourth down. But, you know, little things like that, it just shows you you can compete with anybody. And when you play a tough schedule at the beginning, you know, those games towards the end, they become a little bit easier. And then it prepares you for the playoffs. You know, North Cobbs are always going to be great. You know, coach does a great job over there and his kids are always going to be prepared and they have D1 athletes just like us. But you got to understand your opponent is putting in the work just like you are. So if you're not outworking your opponent, you're never going to be great or reach your ultimate, you know, ceiling.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, you mentioned being from the community too. Like, what advantage has that been for you in terms of just ingratiating yourself in the community long term, being a Collins Hill guy and just knowing the area and just what it means for you and for just, like I said, the area?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the connections, the relationships I built in high school, a lot of the coaches, like, you know, Coach Maloof over at Linder, played against him. He was at Norcross.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys like that that got back into coaching. And it's great. That's, again, one of the reasons why Gwinnett is so good, because, you know, the guys get back into it and they stay at home or they try to stay in Gwinnett and, you know, give back to what our coaches gave to us. And, you know, big thing for me is giving back to our community. So I don't, we try to do as much community service with our kids as possible to kind of teach them the right way to be a man and grow up and really control yourself outside of football. You know, we talk about being great on and off the field. And, you know, this past 2 weeks we went to our elementary cluster and we did Read Across America with them. And, you know, little things like that, kids are nervous, but you're like, man, it's a first grader. You know, they're not even going to remember, but you're the role model. And, you know, you got to, you know, we say another saying, you know, always, you know, do the right thing when no one's watching, because someone's always looking. And it could be a little kid like that, you know, that looks up to you, or it could be your little brother. And if you're doing the wrong thing, you know, he looks at you as his role model and he's going to mimic exactly what you do. But giving back to our community and really giving back to, like, the people that come to our, you know, our games, you know, North Metro is one of our huge sponsors. Dr. Cox has been, you know, and his volunteers have been working our games forever. But you got to do things for those people, you know, outside of the football to get them to your game. And you got to give back. I mean, that's the big thing. You can't take. You got to give back. And that's what we're trying to teach, you know, our young men right now.
It sounds like if there was a game for you that you wish you had a do-over based on how it played out, it's the Mill Creek game. But in terms of what you saw really on the field, though, like, you get one do-over from last season based on what you saw the team actually do and how your team performed, what game would it be and why?
It's definitely the Milton game. second round. You know, it was the same exact score as the first game. We opened up. Gainesville was playing them in the Freedom Bowl, which we played Milton in last year. And at halftime, it was 7-13. You know, they didn't really have an answer for our D-line, but they had those dudes on the outside. And, you know, those two receivers and that quarterback and that tight end, they're legit. And, you know, really going into the second round, you know, we probably should have had a better adjustment, you know, after halftime in the boundary. You know, but they were ready for us, and their threes and fours, you know, this guy's behind the ones and twos, they're studs that are receiver. You know, they stepped up their game, and, you know, coming out after halftime, we ended up scoring a touchdown to go up 14-13. And, you know, I think our guys kind of got a little too confident and ended up, you know, missed a bunch of tackles on third down. I think we had four missed tackles on third down, which would have forced them to punt. But they ended up getting 28 unanswered points. And, at, you know, kind of towards the tail end of the season, you don't want to kill your kids, but, you know, tackling may not have been the biggest emphasis, you know, that week because you're trying to protect your guys in injury and health. But, you know, if we go back and do a lot more tackling and make those tackles, I think that game would have been a little bit different.
It is interesting. That's another thing that just flips a little bit is like the Niners are bringing back the importance of like when you just build a team around just physical dudes, like even if they're not the most athletic or they're the most evasive, they're not the fastest. Because tackling is at a premium right now, it's just kind of funny that you can maximize that if like, because it's just you don't have time, and it's just not, you don't, you're not tackling as much in practice, you can't spend as much time as you used to. So if you put together an offense or a team that's just very just out can out physical dudes, like you're gonna win a lot more games than we might think, just because tackling is just hard now.
Yeah, I mean the time management and just. Because, again, summer's really when you want to get in, all that in. You know, you want to maximize your time there. But, again, you don't want to go too long in summer because you're doing 7-7s, OTAs, practice, weight training, all that stuff. And I've been through seasons where you go through a summer and you feel like you've gone through a complete football season. And you're like, oh, it's game throw already? And it's like, man, we still got a whole season left. And that's how the kids feel too, you know. So you got to be very, very careful. And, you know, if you don't have the depth, then you got to be even more careful. Because if you lose your dude, then
– yeah.
I mean, I have somebody to go out there and replace that production, but it's kind of like, it would, you know, it's like chess. I mean, you just got to make the right decisions. And again, I'm, you know, being in this position now is different from being a coordinator or assistant coach and position coach, but you know, it's my team, my program, and you got to have great men and great players around you to buy in and really buy into that system. And we have a great coach staff and players below us right now. I'm super excited.
What's the biggest spring position battle you're most excited to see play out?
Defensive back. Defensive back is very, you know, again, we graduated six DBs, you know, guys that have been with us since freshmen that have been hearing that lingo and doing all that. But then we have really, really strong talent that's going to be sophomores, you know, paired with our juniors and seniors. So, you know, that's going to be a position battle. You know, our ninth grade team was very successful this year. Eighth grade team, very successful this year. So you have all that coming in. But you know, I'm not scared to put a sophomore or freshman out there. You know, we played multiple freshmen and sophomores this year and last year. And, you know, the best 11 will play. And, again, that's what you got to tell your guys. And if you're not doing everything extra, that sophomore may, you know, and he may take because he's going to be ready and you're not.
I like it. Who was the tape hero for you last year? Who was like, he didn't put up the box score stats. He's not someone, if you're reading the Gwinnett Daily the next morning and just seeing who did what, he's not going to pop up, but he's popped up for you on the film room every week.
I'm going to go ahead and say Steven Bargelow and Elijah Petillo. So Steven Bargelow was a sophomore. He's a sophomore. He ended up coming in right around Mountain View and Mill Creek game, got back-to-back defense player of the game versus both those. And they could barely run the ball to the field. He's playing star outside linebacker in our 3-4. But that kid, like I say, if you're not preparing like you're the starter and you're maybe a 2 and your time comes to get in and you don't make that play or you're not ready, you may never get that opportunity again. He was ready, and he took over that spot. We had some injuries in secondary where we had to move our star, Cam Bass, to corner, and they ended up having to move to safety, you know, which is going to benefit him, you know, for recruiting and all that. But now he can play multiple spots. I can move him to nickel. But Steven Bargelow and then Elijah Petillo was a kid that complete 180, you know, just from freshman year to now. And, you know, we had a lot of mouths to feed at, you know, wide receiver. So when you got a lot of talent, you got to make sure everybody's happy. And you never hear that kid complain. You know, he's going to be a leader this year. He's already started to lead. And, you know, just him coming back and having the team, you know, see that all the work that he put in and all the work that he was doing in film and study, he could play any position, you know. And that's what you want from your guys, to be able to play outside, inside receiver, whatever you need them to do.
I like it. We'll end on some not Collins Hill football, some non-football questions for you, Coach. What are you reading right now? Is there something that, are you a reader? And if so, what are you reading?
I'm reading the Bible.
Okay.
I can't go wrong with that. You know, I try to read as much of as I can. The Bible is always something, you know, that I'm still, you know, getting through. And I have my tape in the morning, you know, in the morning, that's when I'm driving to work, that's when I do my praying. And that's when I, you know, listen to the Bible, you know, my audio book, but you know, I'm reading
coffee. What are we doing with it? Are you a coffee guy?
Oh yeah. It's coffee. Okay. I got, you know, and then later in the day, you got to have your energy drink.
Oh, you're not even going sugar free over here, Coach. You're just bouncing off the walls ready for the second half of your day. Okay.
Get ready for Friday, man. We got a big game versus Creighton.
We do have a big, what time? I mean, it's 10:30 tip, man. Are you going to be ready for it? Are you going to make it through?
I'll make it through. I always make it through for those games, especially when we play. I mean, we can't shoot 12% from 3-point a game.
But. No, I mean, they were the first team ever to win an NCAA tournament shooting that way. But
that's crazy. But the reason why I like watching Tennessee and Rick Barnes' team is because they play defense. And again, I'm a defensive-minded head coach, but they just play great defense. And to hold a team like that under 25 points, you know, in the first half, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good, man. It's the only way you can survive when you shoot that poorly. But no, I'm excited for that one. I mean, you might have Creighton and Purdue back to back, which, I mean, hey, if you want a title, you have to, I mean, you know, coaching at the highest level, like to win a title, you have to get through these people. If you want to get there, it's not easy. And that
they played Purdue at the beginning, right? Kansas.
Yeah. And it was close to Purdue, man. The fouls and dealing with Zach Edey, man. It's not something I'm looking forward to. So hopefully Purdue gets beat before.
I think Tennessee is a different team now. You know,
I hope so. I just don't. It's not a fun style. I don't like. I'm just going to go ahead and say I don't like watching Zach Edey play basketball. It's not an enjoyable thing.
You can tell they're getting coached on the sideline though. And the reason I say that is because you look at Alabama, they're hitting all those threes.
Yeah.
And then you know you come out and they pass, and then you hit a three in the corner, and it's just like, man, you can just tell they're getting coached. It's awesome.
Oh yeah, I mean they're Alabama's machine. You can make the case that Nate's been the best coach in the SEC the last 5 years. And it's a scheme. It works. If you're not coaching, what are you most likely to be doing, Drew? What are you doing?
It used to be fishing.
Okay.
But I got two kids. It's either drawing with my daughter or outside. You know, my son was born in October. So he's born the day after my birthday, and his name Peyton. I see Peyton in the background.
Okay.
So
And
I didn't realize, but, you know, his initials are Peyton Andrew Swick. So his nickname is Pass, which is kind of funny.
Okay.
But yeah, I got two young ones. You know, my wife and I. We try to spend as much time with the kids, you know, on the weekend. So if it's not football, that's what I'm doing. And, you know, really trying to make sure my daughter is, you know, doing stuff outside and not always inside, keeping her off tablets and things like that. But, you know, she loves watching Tennessee football and she knows how to sing Rocky Top. And that's the best thing ever. Because my wife's a UGA fan. So that's I've had to deal with that past, you know, however many years we've lost to them. So.
I don't have to worry about that with my wife being a Tennessee. I don't know how that would have worked for me. Final thing here. Little known fact about you that would surprise the Collins Hill football fan community.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like to sing. So at the house, you know, the way I am here is a little bit different at the house. And you know, I love a good song and I kind of go crazy at the house. But
What kind of music are we talking about here?
Oh, anything that has a good beat. So I'm very eclectic, but you know, it'll range from country all the way down to, you know, dubstep.
What's the most embarrassing one that your wife has heard you belt at the house? What's the one that you're like,
ooh. Probably either Elton John, Crocodile Rock, which was probably, you know, this past weekend, but now my daughter's singing that, you know, anything like that, Fleetwood Mac, Elton John, you know, I can go on and on, but you know, my mom was a huge Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks fan. That's what I grew up listening to. So, you know, and whenever that comes on, I'm always singing, but it could be anything, honestly. Justin Bieber, Drake,
Justin Bieber,
go back, Eminem, whatever.
Yeah.
I kind of keep it old, but I still like the new stuff, like Lil Baby.
Are you pop? Are you like pregame? Are you like, hey y'all, I know we're putting on some Fleetwood Mac. We're coming out to Fleetwood Mac.
No, we're Crime Mob. We're Pastor, whatever's going to get me, you know, amped up, juiced up.
We're Crime Mob. I don't think I've ever heard, I've done a lot of these, Coach. I don't think I've ever heard a coach just be like, we're Crime Mob as we come down. Hey, it's real.
You got to get in that vibe, that kind of energy going into a football game because it's a war every play and every Friday.
No, absolutely. Well, Coach, how do the good folks who are tuning in the Collinsville community, how do they support everything you've got going on this spring and come out and support the Eagles?
Great support right now. You know, again, talked about our rec program. You know, our numbers, first year since I've actually played in rec ball way back in the day, that we've had 2 8th grade teams. And, you know, our numbers have increased. And a lot of that has to do with our players, you know, just doing a good job getting out in the community, you know, and really the success of this past year and getting our youth up here to work out, you know, putting all of our varsity coaches in with them. And, you know, more teams need to do that, but not every team does. And, you know, just little things like that go a long way with your rec community, building a relationship with your park director. You know, Ray Hicks for us does an unbelievable job. And then we have team moms who have older sons and then younger sons that are coming in the program. And, you know, just really word by mouth of how we are as coach staff, you know, how we build relationships with our kids and really how we are as teachers up in the building. You know, every one of my coaches is a great teacher. And, you know, a lot of them are not just history teachers. They do math, science, all that. And then, you know, every one of my lay coaches is a sub. So we have as many coaches in the building to make sure that our kids are doing the right thing. And, you know, it takes a lot of work, but you got to do that, you know, today. But again, you know, the community support, unbelievable. You know, we have great juice at the games. You know, we've done a lot of different things. I try to make it more like a college feel.
Yeah.
So, you know, we added fireworks
at
the game. We had the smokes. We run down the hill like Clemson does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm trying to get that fire that North Cobb has, kind of like the WWE stuff in the
Super Bowl. You're going to get some pyrotechnics going.
Yeah, I like what they got. So looking into that, but just making it more modern, you know, in a way, and really making it to what the kids want and giving them a choice and a say-so and everything, but giving everybody, you know, a say in what's going on. So my touchdown clubs, I opened them up, you know, first 30 minutes for any parent to come in and ask questions about where's money, you know, being spent, what are we doing here? And when you include your community like that, you know, you're building a family, and that's what we want to try to do here.
I love it. Well, good luck this spring, Coach. I'm excited to see what you've got cooking here going into next year. Hopefully our Vols take care of business this weekend, and we'll reconnect this summer.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, anytime you want to come down to a game, bring whoever you want, and I'll get you a sideline pass. And we should be up there. I think June 6th is June 6th is our 7-on-7. So we'll get there again, and, you know, we got to defend the belt. But we're always trying to get up to Tennessee, and I may try to bring a bunch of our kids up there as well, you know, to do a campus tour and all that. But
yeah,
Ethan Davis, he's coming back, and he does a really good job, man. You know, I got basketball players that kind of dipping their toe in the water of getting into football. And, you know, I always call him, I can be like, I can call Ethan Davis right now, and he'll tell you exactly, you know, when his career, you know, changed was when he started playing football his freshman year. And he does a great job for me recruiting those basketball players, and, you know, I love him to death. And that's what you got to have in, you know, as a head coach, you got to have those guys come back and really pour into your guys. And Ethan does an unbelievable job. So I'm super excited to see him play this year.
I'm excited. He and Holden Stays, man, they're talented. And I think Ethan's going to have an opportunity to have a big debut season for him and Nico. So it'll be fun. But Drew, thank you as always. And we'll reconnect again soon.
Appreciate it, Chase.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.